Good morning. It's good to see you all. Was that just amazing worship, incredible worship? Give him another hand. You know, I was listening to Ashley sing that last song. We were back there, Scott and I, Pastor Scott and I, just worshiping. You know, whatever you want, Lord, whatever you want. And that's really what this series is about, pivoting from knowing the Word and reading the Word to actually putting it into practice. Now, we focus every weekend on that. But we're going to have an intensive journey together that guarantees that God is going to work in your life and transform you and I, our marriages, our relationships, our single life, our parenting, our careers, our jobs, our education, if we're willing to participate with the Holy Spirit in this journey. And that's a big if, because that really is the question that's posed every single day and every single weekend in this ministry. Will you surrender to God? Will you pivot from head knowledge to really heart transformation and life transformation? Man, there's a lot of noise and a lot of chaos. I was talking to my youngest son Friday, and he just had a rough day. He works about 60, 70 hours a week as a server in a big restaurant down in Colorado Boulevard. And, you know, just people can really be twits sometimes. You know that? And especially when you're trying to serve and love and do the best job you can. And he was just fed up. And I said, I get it. It doesn't matter when you're caring for people, it gets messy. And listen, we have our bad days too. And then he left on Saturday morning and I sent him a text and I said, you know, son, it's been a rough stretch too. I haven't really talked to anybody about that. There's some rough stretches. And I have to just keep reminding myself, you're not doing this for people. You're doing this for the glory of God. And that means anything you do. And I sent him Colossians 3, 23 and 24 that says, whatever you're doing, whatever your hands find themselves doing, do it for the glory of God. Do it for him. And he sent back, wow, Dad, I'm so thankful that you sent this. It came at the perfect time, and I'm thankful that you always do that. I'm proud of you. I'm like, I don't always do that. I sent back, I wish I always did that, but I have rough days too. And the encouragement is this, guys, the challenge is really pivoting to focus our faith on action. You know, and speaking of restaurants, one of the ways we do that is reaching out to the restaurants and the community businesses. We are doing it for 52 weeks this year. We are over three quarters of the way. We are now going this week to an amazing coffee shop. They roast their own beans over there in Old Town Arvada, Hunter Bay Coffee Roasters, Monday through Friday, 6:30 a.m. to 4 p.m., Saturday and Sunday, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Get over there this week to Old Town. Get some coffee, get some food, let them know you're from Grace Church, and let's just flood that business with our business and our love. That's just a way to reach out to the community. Now, you know, as we move into the 50 days of good news, let's just kind of say it this way. We're about 64 days because we're moving from this series right into 50 days of good news. And I need you to understand something. When I say you need to participate with the Holy Spirit in this journey, it means actual focused faith. Listen, if you look at the Bible, you will find that any time God wanted to do a work in the nation of Israel, in an individual's life, he always used 40 to 50 days. Even Jesus was tempted for how long? 40 days. And so there's a period of time that God always set apart for us to set apart and say, you know what, Lord, everything I have, I'm surrendering to you. And what we have done is we have created and written and produced the entire journey. This has been an intensive season. And it's because you're worth it, and more importantly, God is. Now, all I'm asking you as your pastor is to do it and watch God work. Don't be stubborn. Don't make excuses. Listen, if you want to get into shape, you got to get up and work out. You got to exercise. If you want to be healthier, you got to change your diet. If you want a new career, you got to get an education. Anything that's worth doing takes work and sacrifice. Is there anything worth doing more than living for God's good news and his purposes? No. I don't have to wait for your answer. That is the answer. And I want you to know personally that this staff and this ministry loves you so much that we have prayed for you every day. We have prayed behind this work, the small group curriculum that's been created, the video work, all of the messages, the testimonies, the stories. The weekends are going to look a little different. It's going to be life-changing. But you got to do three things, three steps. Three steps, that's it. One, and to all of you watching online, you know I love you. You know we love you. You're our church, wherever you're at around the world. But if you can be here every weekend for 8 weeks. Don't miss a weekend. Now listen, if you have to travel or you get sick, that happens. Here's the thing you can't do. You can't do what you've done in the past. We all do it. Oh, I'll catch that sermon sometime in the future. You'll be behind. When you go to small group, you won't know what they're talking about. Our daily devotion of 5 minutes that our entire staff is doing, you'll kind of be lost a little bit. Don't want you to get lost. So if you can't be here for some reason on a weekend, make sure you watch while you're gone. Okay? I was talking to Bob Hicks last night. He was traveling this past weekend. He said, oh, man, I watched the message with you last weekend sitting in the Ontario airport in California. And I'm like, that's the cool part about us putting it out. And we've been online for 20 years. So I just want to encourage you, make sure you don't miss out. And then third, here's what you need to do. Whether you're in a small group or have never been in a small group, you need to join or host a small group for 8 weeks, okay? Just a little sacrifice. And I'm going to bring out our small group director. She's been doing this for a long time. She's amazing at what she does and in this ministry. Would you welcome Beth Doig to the stage for me? Bring her out, would you? She told me that she hates public speaking. I said, well, join the club. It's the greatest fear of all people. Did you know that public speaking is the number one fear and death is number two? Beth shared with me, she said, oh yeah, I heard that years ago, that most people would rather be in the coffin at a funeral than actually watching or speaking at the funeral. I said, well, that's probably true. But Beth, you have been working in our small group ministry for a long time. When did you start serving in small group ministry here at Grace?
Well, I joined my first small group like 27 years ago at another church, and I became very passionate about small groups. And so when I got to Grace, I found my first small group about 6 weeks after we got here to meet some new people.
Good job.
And started volunteering within a year with the small group pastor and have volunteered.
That was 8 years ago.
Eight years ago.
Awesome.
And so I went through three small group pastors and eventually got hired on staff, and now they're letting me direct the small groups.
Does a great job. She helped with three of those pastors, two of them serving in different areas in ministry here now. But Beth has a knack for doing things the right way. She will always get back to you. Her team, Becky and Linnea, are there to help in every way so that you don't really have to do anything but just be willing. How simple have we made it to connect to a small group during the 50 days?
Well, it should be really simple. If you look in your bulletin, you have a little flyer here that says group launch. Just fill that out and drop it off at the kiosk after service. If you don't have time to stop at the kiosk, you can also do it on our website.
Out the doors to the left.
To
Becky's
the left.
Out there.
Yes.
Linnea's out there.
Yes, I might be out there too. And just fill out what you're looking for, and we'll get you registered. We are going to feed you dinner. We have childcare.
Monday night. 5:30 to 8:30 this Monday.
Yes, September 27th. And we just need to make sure you're registered because we need to make sure we have enough food and entertainment for your kids if you need childcare and food for you guys. If you happen to have a couple people that you're friends with, your neighbors, coworkers, and you want to join together in your own little group, just put your name on the front with your information and fill out the names of the other people you want in your group on the back. And we call those smaller groups. They're the same as small groups, but they start a little smaller. So go ahead and sign up for that so that we can get you together at group launch. You'll get to meet everybody else who's looking for a group. We spend a lot of time talking and having fun, and then you can get together with people that you want to have a group with, or some of our more seasoned hosts who still have room in their groups will be there too.
I like the word seasoned rather than old. I'm not old, I'm seasoned. That's really good. So here's what we're going to do. Monday night, we'll get you connected. We'll feed you. There's childcare. No excuse not to be here. I hear it all the time. Gosh, this is a big church. I'd really like to connect with people. I don't know how. This is how. You take one step, come Monday, we'll get you connected. Some people say, well, I was in a small group and gosh, it didn't work out. You don't quit. If you go to a gas station, they're out of gas, you find another gas station. Otherwise, you're walking, all right? This is a way to reconnect. So get involved. You can host. It's a plug and play. Now, that's kind of an old term. It's a push your iPad and play now. But every bit of material is available. We're going to give it to you. Then on October 7th, if you host a small group, if you're going to join and host or you are a current host, what are we doing October 7th?
So on October 7th, we're going to have a host dinner. It's going to be catered by Los Arcos, which I'm really excited about.
Yeah.
And we want all the hosts to join us there to hear some teaching from Rick and myself. And we'll get you all the materials you need for your small group to go off and do the alignment. We have study guides for everyone in your group. We have DVDs if you want one of those, or we can just get you the video links. So,
do you have cassette tapes?
I do not.
Right.
So no, those are hard to find nowadays.
Oh, that's true.
So, and even if you're one of our online viewers, we have materials for you. Just go on our website, sign up for group launch, and just let me know that you're online, that you live in California or whatever, and watch us. And we can send you the links to the videos, and we can send you a PDF of the study material so that you can gather your own small group there and join us along this journey.
Again, she has thought of everything. I mean, childcare, food, the whole nine yards. And that October 7th from 6 to about 8:30, wrap up around 9. We'll make sure that we get done with everything you need, and you will be ready to go. Some of you may actually want to host a virtual small group. We have people around the world that would like to do a Zoom small group. So you can also let Beth and Becky and Linnea know that. We'll get you connected. Anything else we've forgotten?
No, just make sure that we have your information. Like if you show up, we're going to let you in. But it really helps us out a lot to know how many people we're expecting and to be able to get all the groups organized and that sort of thing. And for the host, I need all your RSVPs on how many people are in your group so we can get you materials.
We're excited. They're signing up. The last two services, we had many sign up. Sign up today. Thank Beth, would you? Great job.
Thank you.
I told her, I said, my goodness, if that's what you're like when you're afraid, I can't imagine what you'd be like if you were comfortable. Just turn the sermon over to her. She did a great job. Now, here's what I can guarantee you. If you take the step, we will take you by the hand and help you every step of the way. My small group is a lifeline for me. We kind of got together with four couples that didn't go to Grace back in the day, so that I had a place where I could go and not be a pastor, just be a person. I'm so thankful for Kevin and Lynn Chapman, our small group leaders for 25 years. You will connect with people. And maybe, every now and then, it takes a couple tries. That's okay. We'll get you connected to the right group, all right? And if you just want to host, you plus two, let's make it happen. You know, pivoting into action. I love what Brian put up there, that image of a mountain bike going over the word pivot. I've been an avid mountain biker. I bike every day, and I love biking. When I used to ride the trails every day, you better know how to pivot at low speeds, at high speeds, off boulders. Otherwise, you're going to be hurt, and that did happen quite often. What happens so often as Christians is we don't pivot from head knowledge to heart transformation and life change. You know what ends up happening? You actually get hurt spiritually, emotionally, because you know the right you should do, but you don't do it. You know, the most deceived person in the Bible is not the lost person. They need Jesus. They're dead in their sins and trespasses. It's the Christian who knows the right they should do and doesn't do it. So I want to look at a passage for the next 30 minutes or so and how we can pivot into action. We're going to talk about this for 2 weeks. Look at this in 2 Peter 3. It's a unique passage. It's got some kind of strange prophetic statements We talked about that last week, wrapping up the book of Revelation. But I want you to see the practical nature of this. Look at this in verse 8. But you must not forget this one thing. Whenever God says don't forget, he means remember. Remember, okay? Dear friends, a day is like 1,000 years to the Lord, and 1,000 years is like a day. I have never not shared that verse in a memorial since my father-in-law died in 1990. For this reason, my wife was hurting. She has lost two fathers. Her biological father died when she was 4.5 years old, third heart transplant recipient ever in the state of Colorado. And then her stepdad, who raised her, died 5 years after we got married, 1990. And she was devastated, as you can well imagine. And I was reading through scripture. I came to this verse, actually wrote a song about it. And I said, you know, honey, this verse tells us that when we die and we go to heaven, we no longer live under the constraints of a clock or the hourglass sand. We're outside the restraints of time and space. That means that Bill is in heaven. He's perfect. He is happy beyond what we could even imagine. And when you get there 50, 60, 70 years from now, hopefully, he's going to turn, look over his shoulder and say, oh, honey, I didn't know you were right behind me. So they're not missing us. He says a day is like 1,000 years and vice versa. And the Lord isn't really being slow about his promise, as some people think. No, he is being patient for your sake. I'm so thankful God's patient with me. You thankful? He does not want anyone to be destroyed, but wants everyone to repent. In other words, God doesn't want anybody to die separated from him and go to hell, but they have to change their mind. That's what the word repent means in the Bible. It means to change your mind. But the day of the Lord will come as unexpectedly as a thief. Then the heavens will pass away with a terrible noise, and the very elements themselves will disappear in fire, and the earth and everything on it will be found to deserve judgment. Since everything around us is going to be destroyed like that, what holy and godly lives you should live, looking forward to the day of God and hurrying it along. On that day, he will set the heavens on fire, and the elements will melt away in the flames. By the way, that's not hell. The Bible says in Hebrews 11, our God is a consuming fire. His holiness cannot dwell with any sin, can't dwell with the curse of nature. So he's going to refurbish this planet. He's going to redo it. But we are looking forward to the new heavens and the new earth, as he has promised, a world filled with God's love and presence. And so, dear friends, while you are waiting for these things to happen, make every effort, circle that, to be found living peaceful lives that are pure and blameless in his sight. And remember, our Lord's patience gives people time to be saved. There it is again. This is what our beloved brother Paul wrote about to you with the wisdom of God gave him, speaking of these things in all of his letters. Some of his comments are hard to understand, and those who are ignorant and unstable have twisted his letter to mean something quite different, just as they do with other parts of Scripture. And this will result in their destruction. You already know these things, dear friends, so be on guard. Then you will not be carried away by the errors of these wicked people and lose your own secure footing, not salvation, secure footing. Rather, you must grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. All glory to him, both now and forever. Amen. Amen. Powerful passage, lots of life-changing application, and we're going to look at how to pivot our faith into action. There's five principles, a lot of truth, five principles. But here's what I want you to know, especially going into this journey. God not only cares about what we do, he cares more about why we do it. Our motivation. So often we get confused, and a lot of people do, a lot of people that aren't even Christians. Well, I better go to church. I better give my money to the poor. I better stop drinking too much. I better stop doing this because, you know, God's probably not happy. And if he's going to let me into heaven, I got to try and be a better person. And we get totally backwards. Religion isn't saving anybody. God cares about why we do what we do. What's our motivation? Is it loving God and loving others? Is it receiving the grace of God as a gift by faith? So we need to pivot from words and emotions to actions and undefiled devotion, literally, untainted devotion. How do we pivot? Well, this passage lays it out. First, we got to pivot our faith into action by focusing. Focus on the shortness of this life and the longevity of the next. This life is short. Man, I just think about, what was it, a week and a half ago? I got a little banner popped up on my phone that said Norm MacDonald died. And I thought he was a funny guy. I liked his dry sense of humor. I liked him on SNL back in the day. And I was just in shock. I had no idea he'd been sick. He was 61. Now, some of you young kids are like, yeah, he was old. No, he wasn't. He was like midlife, okay? I remember my daughter, Brooklyn, when she was 13, she told her grandma, Gina, I don't know why anybody'd want to live past 65. I mean, that's really old. I'm like, Brooklyn, she's 70 right now, okay? Anyways, it's not old. This life goes fast. And he tells us, don't forget one thing, that a day is like 1,000 years and 1,000 years is like a day. So he's reminding us that when we get to heaven, this life we've had is a millisecond. It's a vapor. James says it appears in the morning and disappears by evening. I've done 600 memorials in 36 years as a pastor. My first one, I was 19, fresh ordained pastor, and I buried a 17-year-old in my youth group who was accidentally shot. And I can tell you, every time I look at a casket, every time I am standing in a memorial, I am reminded, besides the pain those people are suffering, which is my focus, of my mortality. Two things focus me like nothing else: a memorial and a wedding. I'm reminded of my commitment to my wife and my family, and in a memorial, I'm reminded of how short life is. Now, in 2 Peter 3:10, he tells us this. Take a look at this. He says, what holy and godly lives you should live. Circle holy, circle godly. These words can get really misused. You should live looking forward to the day of God and hurrying it along. But we are looking forward to the new heavens and the new earth. Let me just stop there. Look up here. Everybody watching online, let me ask a question. Are you looking forward to the new heavens and the new earth? Sometimes we say, yeah, when we're in church, in the building, we are the church. And then we leave and we don't think about heaven for another second of the week. We get so busy with what? The stuff of earth, the stuff that's going to be burned up, the stuff that's going to mean nothing, our houses, our cars, our clothes, all of it. He says, don't get caught up in that. Look forward to the new heavens and a new earth, and it's one he has promised, a world filled with God's righteousness. Now, let me just say this about holy and godly. Holy literally means set apart. When people look at us Christians, they shouldn't go, oh, they're different, because we're just lost in our mind and we can't have a conversation with somebody who's not a Christian. But they should say, oh, there's something different about them. When everybody else is angry, they seem to be at peace. When the whole world's in chaos, they seem to be confident that God's in control. That is holy. Godly means that every day my goal is to imitate Jesus. I'll never get there, but it should be my goal. You know, think about the shortness of this life. If you are the average American and you live 71 years on this earth, that's 25,915 days. You're my age, you've expended over 60% of that. That means, listen, this is mind-blowing, for 3,653 days, you sleep. If you get the average amount of sleep, you sleep for 3,653 of those days. If you're the average person, you socialize with people you love for 1,769 days. That is not a lot of time. If you look at 25,000, roughly 26,000 days, you only spend 1,769 of those days with your family, adding all the hours up. 180 days of your life spent exercising. You're like, oh, wait, I work out every day. No, you don't. You work out for 45 minutes or half an hour or an hour. Add it all up, 180 days. How about this? 7,709 days sitting on your backside. My kids are always like, Dad, why do you not sit down? Because I don't want to waste days. That's why. All right, now I can say that. And here's another reason. 41% of our lives, if you're the average American, staring at a screen. Phone, iPad, TV, computer. Now, if you're Sean or IT guys, it's like 99% of your time. You see life through a screen. But in all seriousness, think about this. We are not focused on the shortness of this life because we're surrounded with it. God says, get your focus on heaven. Be heavenly minded. That's the first step to obeying this command to pivot our faith into action. Second, I got to accept my mission to lead people to God's saving grace. And so do you. And so do you guys. It is not the mission of a pastor or a professional church staff to lead people to Jesus, contrary to what most Christians think. It is our job to equip you to lead people to Jesus. You will have relationships and cross paths with people who are not believers on a far greater level than I ever will. That's why I want us to become equipped like never before. At the end of the next 60 days or so, you're going to know the gospel. You're going to understand the elements of the gospel, your purpose, your divine purpose for being on this planet, God's path for your life. But you're also going to know the verses and the pathway to sharing the gospel, the elements that are necessary to bring the grace of God into somebody's life. Look at 2 Peter 3, and look at this verse here in verse 9. The Lord isn't really being slow about his promise, as some people think. It sometimes drives me crazy when I hear Christians say, I don't know what God's doing. I mean, how much worse can it get than the COVID nightmare? Well, let me just say this. It can get far worse. It is for most Christians around the world. But God is not slow. He didn't wake up and go, oh, what's Fox News saying? Oh, what's CNN saying? He didn't do that. He's not surprised. He doesn't sleep. All right? He says, no, he is being patient for your sake. He does not want anyone to be destroyed, but wants everyone to be saved. That's what repent means. Change my mind about what I thought I had to do to be saved and believe in Jesus. It's our job to accept our mission. I want to ask you this question. Have you accepted your mission, Christian? Have you accepted your mission? Because the one purpose of all five of God's purposes, worship, discipleship, fellowship, mission, and ministry, the one purpose that only has a purpose on this earth, there'll be no need for it in heaven, is evangelism, sharing your faith. How do people hear if you don't share? Look at Romans 10. But how can they call on him to be saved, save them, unless they believe in him? And how can they believe in him if they've never heard about him? And how can they hear about him unless someone tells them? And how will anyone go and tell them without being sent? That is what the scripture says. How beautiful are the feet of messengers who bring good news. You'll never find anything more beautiful than a Christian who unapologetically but lovingly shares their faith. It's not about preaching at people. It's not about arguing people into heaven. You will never argue anybody into heaven. You might win an argument on politics or a biblical truth, but you probably lost an opportunity to lead somebody to Jesus. You can preach the gospel and send people the other direction just by the way you do it. So it's critical that we not only learn how, we do it the right way. I was in Epic Mountain Bike over there on 92nd and Wadsworth. I ran over to get some things for our biking. My wife and I were getting ready to go, and I needed something. So I ran over there, and I usually go to Wheat Ridge Cyclery, but I'm in there and don't really know the people there. It's two young girls behind the counter. Oh, can we help you, sir? No, I'm good. I'm just going to walk over here about 10 feet to their right, get a camel pack. This stuff always happens to me. One, because I'm, you know, like a bull in a china closet most of the time, and also it just seems to happen. I walk up to the rack, and I'm looking for a camel pack, and I'm sliding this one forward, and I reach up to grab that one. Snap! The whole shelf comes down. Literally at my feet, like 50 camel packs. And it's just like, and I look over and they're laughing. She's just like dying. And I go, I'm so sorry. And I go, look, I pick it up. The weld broke. I'm like, I'm so sorry. Here, I'll get it. I said, no, no, sir. You don't have to. No. I need to. Let me help. She's like, oh, you're so nice. I said, well, I have to be. I'm a pastor. Oh, what church? I said, Grace Church of Arvada. Oh, where's that? 69th. Oh, yeah, I think I had a friend go. What's your church? What denomination? It's non-denominational, but we believe this. Believe God loves everybody. And that, you know, we're all sinners, right? You're a sinner. I'm a sinner. Oh, yeah, I'm a sinner. Well, but Jesus came into this world. He lived a perfect life. He never sinned. And he went to the cross. He died on the cross, paid for all of our sins. 3 days later, he rose again. And you know what he said? He said, believe in me and I'll give to you everlasting life. She had no idea what she was in for when she came over to get those bags picked up. And she's like, huh, okay, that's great. So I just end up going through the gospel with her, tell her I'm praying for her, invite her to the church. And that was an opportunity. Sometimes those opportunities present themselves and you just got to walk through the door. We're going to prepare you to do that like never before. Okay. Third, if we're going to pivot our, oh, by the way, let me just say this. Faith in action equals evangelism. Without it, your faith is not alive. Sharing your faith is a critical, if not the most critical component to maturity. You say, well, how is evangelism maturing me? Let me tell you what happens when you start to share your faith. People ask questions you don't have answers to, and you have to say, you know, I don't know the answer, but I'll go talk to my pastor or somebody that does, and I'll get back to you on that. And all of a sudden, you're combing over scripture, and you're talking to other people, and, oh, Pastor Mark, can you help me with this question? And you're going deeper in the Word of God as far as knowledge is concerned. It improves your prayer life because you're praying for them, and you're also praying for yourself as you start to sweat, right? It improves your spiritual life. Third, my faith, I got to pivot my faith into action by investing. You got to invest in knowing and protecting the truth of Scripture. Now, this is critical. It is our job to know Scripture. I am so proud of so many of you who read through the Bible in 90 days. That's incredible. And many of you are still going. I'm proud of you too. Keep going. Remember what I said, even if it takes you 9 months or a year, keep going. And by the way, when we finished, we didn't go, oh, well, I'm done with that book. I can check it off my reading list. This is to build a habit in our life. Look at 2 Peter 3:16. Speaking of these things in all of his letters, some of his comments are hard to understand. He's talking about Paul. And those who are ignorant and unstable have twisted his letters to mean something quite different, just as they do with each part or other parts of Scripture. And this will result in their destruction. God does not take kindly to people twisting the truth, to people misusing Scripture. But many people do that because what? They're lost. They don't know Jesus. There are some, though, that do, and they use the Bible for their own personal well-being and gain. God says it is our job to be able to defend the truth. Now, I want to explain what that is and what it isn't. Don't be defensive and don't be offensive. Somebody says something, I don't believe in Jesus. He was just a regular, no, that's my Savior. Hey, listen, they're lost in sin. They're supposed to say those things. So did you before you knew Jesus. Okay? So don't be defensive. Also, don't be offensive. Hey, you going to hell when you die? I could tell you how to get to heaven. Not good. Not going to be a great path of evangelism for you, all right? There's a delicate balance. But be prepared to answer the questions. Look at 1 Peter 3. Instead, you must worship Christ as Lord of your life. This is a command to Christians, not unbelievers. That phrase is often misconstrued when we're sharing the gospel. Well, if you'll surrender your life to the Lordship of Christ, every area, then you'll be saved. Christian, I have a question for you. Have you surrendered every part of your life to the Lordship of Christ? Don't shake your head yes, because you battle with it every day just like I do. All right? He is Lord of all. I don't make him Lord of anything. I just need to yield to that Lordship. And if someone asks about your hope as a believer, always be ready to explain it. But do this, circle two words, in a gentle and respectful way. Keep your conscience clear. Then if people speak against you, they will be ashamed when they see what a good life you live because you belong to Christ. Remember, it is better to suffer for doing good, if that is what God wants, than to suffer for doing wrong. It saddens me so often that Christians blame God when their times in their life get tough, but they take no responsibility for getting themselves there. I can tell you, I'll listen to people, many of us as pastors, and they'll pour their heart out, and no judgment at all, but they'll start down this path. I was drinking a bunch, and then I got into a relationship I knew I shouldn't be in, and then she got pregnant, and they start pouring it out, and then they go, well, I can't believe God did this to me. Why would God do this to me? And I always kind of go, hold on just a second. Let's stop there for a minute, all right? God did not do that to you. You did that to you. Thank God he still loves you and you're still his child. But don't blame God for your stupidity. I don't blame God for my stupidity. There's plenty of it, okay? So we need to be aware as Christians about what God says. We're going to spend the next 40 days understanding that. Then fourth, you got to turn from misleading teachings. Now, this is a little different. Not only knowing how to defend the truth, but this is an epidemic in the church today. It was an epidemic then. These apostles would go into cities and they would preach, and right next to them would be false teachers. Oh, they sounded like Christians. They sounded like they were speaking the truth, but they were not. There's a lot of those people today. Listen, man, if you know the word, you're a believer, understands and can discern, that's fine. There's always some truth you can glean. I can glean truth from an atheist because if they speak truth, it came from God. But at the end of the day, don't subject yourself to bad heretical teaching, i.e. the prosperity gospel. Any person that says, God wants you healthy all the time and wealthy all the time is a charlatan. That is not biblical. God says, when you have tough times, count it pure joy. When you have tough times, know this, I'll work all things together for good. This is not our home. This is not our final stop. Look at this, 2 Peter 3:17. You already know these things, dear friends, so be on guard. Then you will not be carried away by the errors of these wicked people and lose your own secure footing. Not salvation, secure footing. The most secure footing you'll ever have is knowing how to discern the truth because you know the Word of God. Romans 16 says this, and now I make one more appeal, my dear brothers and sisters. Watch out for people who cause divisions and upset people's faith by teaching things contrary to what you have been taught. Stay away from them. Such people are not serving Christ our Lord. They're serving their own personal interest by smooth talk and glowing words that deceive innocent people. Guys, God wants us to understand the difference between a philosopher, the power of positive thinking, and the truth of God's word. You know how you do that? You understand the clarity of the gospel. The gospel is like these glasses. When I take them off, I told you this a few months ago, you're just a beautiful smudge, okay? But when I put them on, I see your beautiful face clearly. When you know Jesus and you come to know him through faith alone in Christ alone, then you understand the clarity of the gospel. You look at scripture, and it's like those pictures that are just a bunch of different dots, and all of a sudden you stare at it for a while, and it becomes a beautiful picture. That's what the gospel does for you. That's why it's so critical that we spend the next 50 to 60 days doing this. 2 Corinthians says, for they are not true apostles. There were actually people following these guys that said they were apostles too. But they're deceitful ministers who masquerade as special apostles of the Anointed One. That doesn't surprise us, for even Satan transforms himself to appear as an angel of light. So it's no wonder his servants also go about pretending to be ministers of righteousness. But in the end, they will be exposed and get exactly what they deserve. Did you catch that? Satan's greatest work isn't done in a bar or a brothel. It's done in the church gatherings. It's done with false teaching. It masquerades as light, but it's false. You know, I've shared this before. I don't really think there's a better illustration. If they're training people at the bank to recognize a counterfeit, they don't put counterfeits in front of them because they come in all different, forms. They put the real thing in front of them. And they become so familiar with that $20 bill that they'll know a counterfeit the moment they see. Have you noticed today everybody that works in a store is now a professional on counterfeiting? They also don't know what to do when they say, that'll be $19.90, and you hand them a $20 bill. Oh, don't you have a credit card? No, this is cash. We used to use this back in the day. So they don't know what to do. But I love this. They'll take it, and then they'll look up at the light. And they're like, okay. Well, they're trying to recognize a strip. They're trying to recognize if it's the real thing. To know the real thing, you have to be so familiar, or a counterfeit, you have to be so familiar with the real thing. And we're going to spend this time in small group. Every day we'll have a little devotion from one of our staff members on Facebook, on the webpage. Nobody's going to miss out on that. Each day, just to keep you focused before you get to small group and then before the weekend. It's going to be encouraging. It's going to be uplifting. It's going to be good news. And finally, how do we pivot our faith into action? You honor God by growing in that faith. That's the greatest way to bring Him glory. Parents, does it give you joy to watch your children grow up into good people? Does it give you joy to watch your children walk with God? Our greatest joy as parents of four is seeing our children love God and love people. Now, we weren't perfect parents, but we did the best we could. God's desire is that we grow in our faith. Look at this in 2 Peter 3:18. Rather, you must grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. All glory to Him both now and forever. Amen. Let me just say this. The reason He uses the word grace, grow in grace, is because God is an always patient, always gracious God. Sometimes we just talk about grace in light of our salvation. Grace is the gift. It literally means getting what I don't deserve. I don't pay for it. I don't earn it. I don't do anything to keep it. I simply believe and receive. But what does it mean to grow in the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ right now? It means that when you stumble and when you fall, He says, it's okay, son. Get back up. Remember, the Bible says this. A righteous man falls. A righteous woman falls. But they get back up. What determines a growing faith is not that you never fall. It's that you don't get up. If you don't get up, it's not growing. So get up. I want you to be so uplifted. You're going to see things different some on the weekends, during the small groups, to motivate, to encourage, and to grow you in grace. No matter where you're at in your spiritual life, because you are the temple of God. Look at 1 Corinthians 6. Have you forgotten that your body is now the sacred temple of the Spirit of holiness who lives in you? You do not belong to yourself any longer. For the gift of God, the Holy Spirit, lives inside your sanctuary. You were God's expensive purchase. Circle that. Paid for with, and I want you to underline it, tears of blood. So by all means then, use your body to bring glory to God. God paid, the ultimate price by sending His son Jesus to die on the cross. Parents, can you imagine your child, your only child, dying in the most heinous way, being crucified on a cross, having never done anything wrong, and He died for people that were mocking Him, spitting on Him, beating Him. He died for Hitler. He died for, you know, Mao. He died for us. And He died for every sin put on Him. Now that motivates me to want to know the good news, to share the good news, to live the good news. I want you to recognize something. I ran across this. I was just reading and kind of put it in last minute. But there's really four levels, and I agree with this, of maturity. We're never going to get all the way to full maturity until we get to heaven. And some people, as Christians, are confused, like, well, I'm a mature Christian. I've been saved for 30 years. That means absolutely nothing. I know Christians been saved 6 months, far more mature than Christians been saved 40 years. Why? Because they're putting into practice what they learned. They're serving, they're loving, they're giving, they're caring. So here's the four levels. See if you can identify yourself anywhere. Number one is rebellion. I'm going to do what I want to do regardless of what God says. Now, if you're a non-believer, you're not a Christian, I'm so glad you're here. I'm so glad you're watching. You know, I'm probably not winning you over, calling you rebellious, but let me just set the record straight. That's all of us before Jesus. Because everything we do, even our good works, is rebellion before God. It's, I'm going to do what I want to do. I don't even believe there's a God. And if there is, I don't care. I'm doing what I want to do. But the next level is conditional love. And this is where a lot of Christians, unfortunately, stay. God, I'll give you what you want if you give me what I want. I remember praying prayers like that. I remember when my dad was dying and I begged God, oh God, please don't let my dad die. God, if you save my dad, I'll serve you for the rest of my life. Well, God saved my dad. It had nothing to do with bargaining with him. But that was my immature faith. And that's okay. You got to start there. But then he wants us to be at a place where we're growing faith. And our growing faith says this, I will give God what he wants so he can give me what I need. Give me what I need. You see, so often we think that if we pray that prayer, God, give me what I want, that he's going to do that based on scriptures that say, well, ask God and he'll do whatever you ask in his name. That's false. Not the scripture, the understanding. You see, when you come to the place we're going to look at, the final step of maturity, it's selfless worship. It means I will give God what he wants regardless of any thought for myself because he is Lord of all and worthy of my praise. When that happens, it is true that you can pray any prayer in the name of Jesus and he will answer it with yes for this reason, because you only ask what he wants. Your will becomes his will. Your ways become his ways. And that's the desire for the next 60 days to transform every believer connected to this ministry into a selfless worshiper. And my encouragement to you is we're going to learn the good news like never before and understand it. Don't be that Christian that goes, oh, I've been saved for a long time. I know this. No, you don't. Because if you're not living the purposes of God, you don't understand it. You see, God loves us, and God created us for his purpose, for his will. But unfortunately, the first man and the first woman sinned, and our sins have separated us from God since that time. You didn't have a choice. You were born in sin, and our sins separate us. I mean, we are as far away from God as we could possibly be. And sins can't be erased by good deeds, not the good works that we do. No matter how good you become, no matter how many times you go to church and how much you pray and how many, you know, people you help, it doesn't erase the stain of sin. The Bible says, my goodness, the best things I do are filthy rags compared to God's holiness. You're like, well, that's pretty hopeless. Where's the good news, Pastor? Paying the price of our sins. Jesus Christ died and 3 days later rose again. That's the good news. He paid the price we can't pay. And everyone who trusts in him, everyone who believes he did that for them, has everlasting life. And life that's everlasting means it starts now and we'll be with the Lord in heaven. And listen, he will never lose us or forsake us. 1 John 5:13 says, these things have I written unto you, that believe on the name of the Son of God, not behave, not become something, not belong to a religion, believe on the name of Jesus Christ, will know that you have eternal life. Not guess, not hope, not wonder, but know. Jesus says, I give unto them eternal life, and they will never perish, neither will anyone pluck them from my hand. I and the Father are one. He takes hold of you, and you can't break free. Nobody can pull you away. That is the good news. Let me have you bow your heads and close your eyes for a minute. Maybe you're here, or maybe you're watching. Don't turn the broadcast off, please. And you honestly could not say, I know for sure if I die, I go to heaven. Friend, you know now. So now the ball is in your court. It's your decision. You only have this moment. There's no guarantee on this afternoon, tonight. So right where you sit, I want to challenge you to receive this gift of grace. Just talk to God silently in your mind. Say something like this. God, I'm a sinner. I've done things wrong. But I believe that Jesus Christ died for me, paid for all my sins, and rose again. And I trust in Him alone to save me. Thank you, God. Friend, welcome to the family of God. You're going to heaven. You become the temple of the Holy Spirit. And I want to pray for you. I'm not going to have you stand up or come forward in a moment. I'm going to have you raise your hand and put it right back down. That just tells me that today you made that decision. So if you're saying, I believe and I receive that free gift of salvation, would you just slip your hand up? Just slip it up. God bless you, guys. God bless you. Thank you, brother. God bless you. God bless you, my friend. God bless you. Thank you. I see your hand back there. God bless you. Praise God, man. Man, I am praying for a harvest of souls like this. I want every single one of you, there's probably 10 people, I want you to know you made the wisest decision you'll ever make. And you're going to heaven no matter what. You're God's child forever. But this ministry is committed to loving you and raising you up into maturity. And the way that we're going to do that starts with you taking the one step to be a part of the next 60 days. We'd also like to give you a Bible, give you a call, and see if there's anything we can do for you. So if you just text the word believe to 720-895-9000, it's the church number, it's in your bulletin. Follow the prompts. We have a Bible for you. We're here for you. God bless you. Christians, heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I want you to pray in your mind, Lord God, I know the enemy is going to come at me. I know he's going to try and stop me from participating in what you have in store for me. Lord God, help me through the power of your Holy Spirit to make this commitment and to keep it. Father, thank you for the free gift of salvation and those who trusted in you. Thank you for your grace and mercy. Oh God, we love you and we worship you now in Jesus' name.